You're listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast that mixes all the latest news from my little world with interesting stories from the rest of the world. I'm your host, Diggy, and as usual, I'm going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. This is where I answer questions from you. This week, I've been sent a question by Chris, and Chris says, what was your favourite advert, jingle, slash song as a child? This has been a really difficult question. Now, Chris is obviously following on here from the TV show themes that we did recently. I think it's a really good segue. Thank you, Chris, for that. I have spent the last week listening to as many jingles, adverts, and things like that that I can. I say last week, last 48 hours, because I forgot about the question and had to cram a load in over the last 48 hours. But I have listened to a week's worth in the last 48 hours, so I reckon I could honestly say I've listened to a week. And it's been really hard to come up with one. There's been lots of suggestions by other people because I've been asking this question around. I've spoken to Chris as well on this one, and Chris's suggestion was the Bodyform advert. He said it wasn't necessarily his favourite, but it's the one that sticks in his head. Like, if I was to go, wow, Bodyform, I bet you can finish that. Bodyform for you. That is the last time you will ever get me to sing on the podcast. But no, after watching a whole bunch of videos, this is the one that stuck in my head the most. So here we go.
Bird and potato waffles, they're waffling versatile. They go with cheese, chili, chicken, burgers, fish fingers, fish fingers, eggs, ham, eggs, salad, bacon, lamb chop.
They're real potato waffles.
Bird and potato waffles, they're waffling versatile.
Bird's Eye Potato Waffles. You may have noticed, because I'd never noticed it before, but I noticed it when I played it then. They mentioned eggs twice. Like, what's that about? Why do you need to mention eggs twice? Not necessary at all. Anyway, if you would like to ask a question to open up the show, you just go to thatsafreebie.com. At the top of the page, there's a button that says Ask a Freebie. It takes you to a form that you can fill in. You don't have to put your name on it. There is a box to tick to say whether you want the feedback read out on the air or not. So if you're just asking me a question that's just for me, do tick the I don't want my feedback read out on air option. But you might need to put some way in there of me contacting you, because I didn't think of that when I made the form. And I've had a few things that have come through that it says don't read out on air. And clearly it's just a question for me. I haven't been able to reply because I don't know who you are. So yeah, if you've done that, you might want to just ask the question again and maybe put an email address in there or something, or go to the Patreon page. You can contact me on there as well. But for now, let's do that thing that we do every single week and play the theme tune.
Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
I have no follow-up this week, which is good. So we're going to jump straight into this week today. The big thing that happened this week is that it was sports day at school. I took the day off work, especially after missing out on my daughter's play a few weeks back. I wanted to make sure I was there for sports day. I mean, I always am for sports day. I always take the day off. It's good to be there to cheer them on. They love it. They both did quite well. The girl got third in two races. Might have been three, actually. I can't remember now. No, I think it was two races. And the boy got a first, a second, and two thirds. He's definitely the more athletic of the two. My daughter is very much would rather sit and do nothing, just like me. She very much takes after me. In fact, there was a moment where they do, they call it the marathon. It's where they run around the whole field. It's the last race that they do. And they run around the whole field, and it's voluntary. A lot of people take part in it, which is quite nice. But they do say, if you don't want to participate in the marathon, it is okay. You can just watch. And as soon as the teacher said, anybody would like to participate in the marathon, go and line up at the start sign. My daughter lay down, took her hat off, put it over her face, crossed her legs, and went to sleep. when the marathon ended, we had to go and wake her up. It was quite funny. Now, the big thing for me when it comes to something like a sports day or anything that involves me being around all the other parents is I am quite a socially awkward person. Now, people that know me probably think otherwise because I do come across as quite an extroverted person, but I'm not. I'm sort of, I have like these two inner personalities that battle with each other. I am an extroverted person, but I'm also really introverted as well. Like I'm not an initiator. I can join in conversations. I can talk to people that I know well and start conversations there. That's not a problem. But I'm not really a small talk person. I absolutely struggle like crazy with small talk and just talking to people that I don't really know that well. And of course, that means parents at the school gates. I always arrive just on time to pick the kids up or drop them off so I don't have to interact with the other parents. It's not that I don't like them. I just genuinely, I don't know how to talk to them. And so that's just how it goes, right? So what I did this year, because every other year, I've basically ended up in a situation where I'm sat on the grass, I'm surrounded by people, and they're all just a little bit too close for comfort. And everyone wants to talk. And I get it. It's a social environment for a lot of people, but not for me. I don't want to be any part of that. So this year I took myself a big blanket. I say a big blanket. It was one of the kids' blankets, one of their old baby blankets, actually, I think, or from when they were a toddler. And I spread it out on the floor and I sat on that. I took myself a few bottles of water and a flask of coffee because I was there 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock. And that was a long time to be sat in the baking sun, which we'll get back to actually in a few moments. So I'm sat there and everybody set chairs up around me. It was very frustrating. I couldn't get out. Of course, we had to follow. So the children went round the different areas of the field. So I had to keep getting up. So I had to talk to people to say, please, excuse me, can I get past? So yeah, it really didn't help very much that I was sort of trapped in by everybody. But hey, it's just how it goes. It was actually a nice, pleasant day. The people that were around me were nice to talk to. I knew a few of them because they were parents of children that are in my daughter's class. So that wasn't too bad. The one thing that did annoy me about the whole thing, though, and I didn't really notice it at the time, it wasn't until afterwards when I was, because I took video because my wife couldn't make it. So I took quite a lot of video. And I didn't realize, but in that video, or in all the videos of, I think it's my son's, because my son did it in the morning and my daughter did it in the evening. I think it was when my son did it. The two women that were sat behind me the entire time didn't stop talking about Breaking Bad. Now, I knew this at the time, I'd realised, but obviously I could just tune them out. I just turned my hearing aids off, it was fine. But of course, my video recordings have picked them up, waffling away the entire time about Breaking Bad. So every time I watch one of the videos back, you just hear in the background, yeah, so, yeah, he beat him up, didn't he? And then he got shot. And I've never watched Breaking Bad, so I don't actually know what they're talking about at this point. I don't know. Is it the place to talk about that? I don't think it is, really. Anyway, what else happened at Sports Day? There was a few parents that were extremely loud. I can't describe, just like they weren't cheering, they were screaming like a screech every single race, like even if their kids weren't in it, it's just like ah, but much more high pitched than that. I don't want to break my microphone, so I am not going to really demonstrate how loud they were, but yeah, I was just like, this isn't helping anyone, it's distracting. The kids were running past and I could see when they got in line with this parent who was quite a way away from me, I could still hear them without my hearing aids in, further down the field. And every time they got in line with them and they screeched, the kid would turn and he'd have put the kid off running. I don't know if that was the plan or not, but yeah, they just needed to calm it down a bit, I think. One parent One parent called their kid over to the sideline, which we had been absolutely told two things. Do not call your kids over to the sideline to talk to them. And do not go over to your children. Let the teachers sort them out. And they were quite adamant about that because every year they always end up with a load of parents stood where they shouldn't be. So they mentioned it several times. But anyway, this one parent, he called his daughter over to the sideline. And he said, and he whispered to her, well, I say whispered, I heard him, so it can't have been that much of a whisper. He said, "What did I tell you this morning?" And she went, "I don't remember." And he said, "When you're running, stick your elbows out as far as you can. So if anybody gets close to you, they get one in the eye and they fall over and then you win." And I was like, oh, wow. At first I was like, oh, is he just playing? No, he's not playing. He was literally telling her to elbow people. And what, this was the infants class. So yeah, that was an interesting one. A lot of people stopped talking to him after that, I noticed. He was Mr. Popular until that point, and then everybody must have looked at him and thought, yeah, you're a bit of an ass, aren't you? During one of the races, I got a fly in my eye. Nothing major. You'd think that's fine, wouldn't you? But no, the fly flew underneath my glasses, bounced off my glasses, directly onto my eyeball. I blinked, crushed the fly with my eyelids, and then proceeded to smear dead fly all over my eyeball. I had to wash it out with water, and that was when my social awkwardness kicked in as well, because people tried to help me and I'm like, I'd rather just sort it out myself, go away. And actually I needed help. I just couldn't help myself there in that situation. So somebody had to hold my head back while the other person held my eye open, because I don't like things in my eye. So I wasn't able to allow them to help me because I was too busy trying to fight it. Yeah, it wasn't fun. But it was solved in the end. I managed to get the thing out of my eye. And then comes the end of the races, and it is, of course, the famous parent race. I came second to last in both of the races because I had to do it twice, you know, two kids. And one of them was straightforward. I was just second to last, slowest. The guy behind me looks about 30 years older than me, so... I'm not surprised he came last. He kept up with me though, so more shame on me than him. He did absolutely fine. Don't get me wrong, I'm not dissing him. He did fine. I was slow. And then the last race, the second race that I did was same thing, second to last. But I only came second to last because I was neck and neck with another guy who was clearly a lot younger than me. So he probably would have just left me for dust. However, all I know is I happened to glance to the side of me to see if he was still there, and he was sliding along the floor on his face, and his legs were in the air. So he'd gone flying, and he's basically, his face is digging into the ground. There's dirt flopping up everywhere. I could hear the crowd going, "Oh!" And I thought, oh my God, he's had a fit, or he's fainted or something like that. I better help him. So anyway, I get to the finish line and I turned around and saw him getting up and walking over to the side laughing. So I think he just fell over. But in that moment, I was like, he's hurt himself. I need to help him. But I couldn't stop. My legs just kept powering through. It was really bizarre. Anyway, it turned out he hadn't hurt himself. So we were fine. Yeah, that was my adventures at parents' evening, I suppose. There was one last thing at... sports day, and that was the coffee van. It was kind of annoying, and I mentioned it to them because they missed an opportunity, and I hope they change it for the future. So there's a little coffee van that's always in the area. It's called Cough Cough, COFCOF. Every event that happens in our area, this little coffee van's there. It's dead cool. You've probably all seen it before. It's just a van that sells coffee, crisps, sweets, snacks, cakes, things like that. It's pretty reasonable as well. It wasn't that expensive compared to most places. But they had a little sign outside and it said, "Stop, grab a latte." And I looked at it and I thought, what are you doing? Why does it not say, "Stop, laddie time"? Anyway, I told them and they went, "Oh, yeah, never thought of that." So I'm hoping that next time I see it out and about, they've changed the slogan on the coffee van, because that would be pretty cool if I made them change the slogan. And the last thing I wanted to tell you this week, just because I saw it and I feel like everybody else needs to know that this happened. I was on the tram on the way home a few nights ago. And as the tram's passing through Manchester, I saw two people carrying about 5 pizza boxes each. They were dressed in like office attire. So they clearly had just gone and got pizza for the office. Nice gesture. Don't know where they work. Nice gesture. Well done. However, the guy was carrying the pizza boxes correctly, upright, walking along. The lady had tipped them all on the side, so all of those pizzas were sliding to the bottom of the boxes. And all I could think is, what has she got against pizza? This week in Buzz Off, we are telling sun cream to buzz off. Now, not opposed to sun cream. Sun cream is great. I did, however, find that my sun cream that I used during sports day wasn't very good because I burnt. I was in the sun for virtually the entire day, basically. And yeah, my arms were bright red after the end of the day. Luckily, I had a hat on protecting my head because, you know, I am bald. But I felt very sick that night. I definitely got a bit of sunstroke. Plenty of water, went to bed early, woke up all right the day after, so that's good. The thing that I want to say, buzz off, is sun cream, specifically when you get sun cream in your eye, which happens to me a lot. And I was talking about this with somebody yesterday and they couldn't understand how it is possible that I get sun cream in my eye so often. And I described, well, when you put it on, sometimes you accidentally rub it in your eye. They proceeded to say, nope, never done that. And the other thing that happens to me, and I imagine every other bald person out there, is you have to put a fair bit of sun cream on your head and your ears and the back of your neck and, you know, the general head area. And that's great and all, but what happens then is you've got this sun cream on and you sweat and you've no hair to stop that sweat from rolling down your face. So what does that sweat do? It runs down your forehead, into your eyebrows, drips into your eyes. And it's laced with sun cream. And it's awful. It means that randomly throughout the day, I can just start tearing up because I've got really burning sun cream in my eyes. And it's not fun. I imagine it happens to everybody. It's probably not exclusive to bald people. But I think that we probably do get it worse. I could be wrong. Write in, let me know. But I genuinely think we probably get it worse. Sun cream in the eyes can buzz off. This week's Pod Tales is a continuation of last week's Pod Tales because we have the wonderful world of the idiom to continue exploring. Same deal as last week. I've got 10 of them and we are going to go through them. The saying, the meaning and the origin, where we were able to get the origin. It's not always possible to find where these things come from, it turns out. But let's go. So number one is burn the midnight oil, and it means to work late into the night. This idiom dates back to the time when oil lamps were used for lighting, and burning the midnight oil meant staying up late to work or study. Makes sense, right? Throw in the towel, to give up or admit defeat. This phrase comes from boxing, where a trainer throws a towel into the ring to stop the fight, signalling surrender. I knew that one. I imagine a lot of you knew that one as well. Under the weather, which means feeling ill. This idiom comes from nautical language, where sailors who felt seasick were sent below deck. So they were under the weather. Hit the hay means to go to bed. This phrase comes from when mattresses were often stuffed with hay. Going to bed meant hitting the hay. Yep. Barking up the wrong tree. To pursue a mistaken or misguided course of action. This phrase likely comes from hunting dogs barking at the base of trees where they thought their prey was hiding. On the ball, which means to be alert and efficient. This phrase comes from sports, particularly baseball, where being on the ball means being alert and ready to play. Pull someone's leg means to joke or tease somebody. The origin of this idiom is a bit unclear, but it is thought that it came from street thieves who tripped people to rob them, evolving into a term for joking. That could make sense, I suppose. Cut to the chase, to get to the point without wasting time. This idiom comes from early filmmaking where action scenes were often involved chases. So cutting to the chase meant skipping the boring parts and getting to the exciting action. Let sleeping dogs lie, which means to avoid interfering in a situation that is currently causing no problems. This phrase dates back to at least the 14th century and advises not to stir up trouble by waking a potentially dangerous dog. And the final one is through thick and thin, to support someone during good times and bad. This phrase has been used since the 13th century and refers to enduring both difficult and easy communications together. Actually, I read that wrong. Circumstances together. That makes much more sense. As usual, this is the point where I tell you that if you love That's a Freebie and you want even more, you can now subscribe to That's a Freebie Plus. All you do is head over to thatsafreebie.com and you click the Get Plus button here. Get Plus Here button that's at the top of the page. You get access to the unpolished feed, which is the raw recording of every episode. So you hear all my mistakes, you hear my pauses, you hear me planning the episode. You get a little pre-show and an after-show sometimes. I told a story pre-show today that I'm not telling in the main podcast. And you also get access to a Discord channel so you can chat with me, which will allow you to help shape the show. And you get access to the you get access to the uncut feed as well. So all of the stories that are just not quite safe for work to publish in this episode of the podcast, or this feed of the podcast, more accurately. As always, though, do remember, you don't have to subscribe. I will continue to do this either way. Subscribing does mean that I get paid, which is what I want. It means that I get to do this more. It means that I can put more time into it. You can also help by leaving a review in your favorite podcast client. You can like the show on YouTube. You can do all of that kind of stuff, basically. I have lost the plot this week and can't quite read my own notes. So basically, share the podcast, subscribe to That's a Freebie Plus. That would be perfect. Thank you. This week's pick of the week is the reason why I am struggling to think this week, because I am feeling rather lethargic right now, because I have just had the best sandwich from Rack. Now, if you don't know Rack, they are a sandwich place. Or more accurately, you'll probably describe them as toasties, really. Although I don't think that does them justice. I have just had a beef brisket with cheese toasty sandwich. It was on sourdough, and it came with a nice dipping broth to dip it in, and it was massive. It's amazing. They have them in Sale, Altrincham, Manchester. There's probably others. I got it delivered, so they're on Deliveroo and everywhere. I have noticed there seems to be different things. Like, I went on Just Eat at first and they only had a mushroom sandwich or a chicken sandwich, which I thought was odd because I knew I'd had others before. So I went to Deliveroo and the entire menu was on Deliveroo. So it does make a difference where you go. So have a look. I'll leave a link in the show notes for this place. It really is amazing. The portions are massive. So you may look at it and think, that's expensive for a sandwich, because it is. That sandwich I had was £12, right? It's not a you have this every day kind of thing. It's a once a month treat, if that, maybe even once every few months treat. It's totally worth it, though. It's really, really good, and it's very filling. You could probably even, I dare say, in fact, yes, you absolutely could. You could buy one and share it, because it is almost like having two massive sandwiches the way it's built. You can absolutely have one and share it. They also do the best hash browns ever, like better than McDonald's hash browns. For those of you that love McDonald's hash browns, they are better, way better. Like, and you get loads of them. Again, you could probably get them and share them, really. I'm a pretty greedy person. I eat a lot of food and I am stuffed. I probably will not eat until like a little bit of toast at supper now tonight, because that will tide me over for the rest of the day just fine. It's that good. And while I mentioned McDonald's, I thought I'd just bring it up now. It's just popped into my head. You know that surprise fries thing that they're currently doing? where you get a little peel-off sticker on the front of your fries. So last night, we had McDonald's for tea. My wife peeled the surprise fries sticker off the front of her fries and won £10. And then I peeled the surprise fries sticker off the front of my fries and won £5. So we got £15 back. Incidentally, I thought mine said 5K. And I got very excited. Fortunately, I didn't share this with my wife. I looked at it and I was like, no. In my head, I was going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So it was a bit dark in the room because it was late at night. So I turned the lights on, had a closer look. And the way they do it, they put a pound sign, the number, and then another pound sign. So because it had a sign after the five, I thought it was a K at first. And it wasn't printed very well either, annoyingly. But I can confirm I redeemed them and it was £10 and £5. It does take 30 days though to come back into your account. So I've got to wait 30 days. Well, it says up to 30 days. I'd be interested to know how long it actually takes. I'll let you know when it comes through if I remember. I'll probably forget, but I'll try to remember. You may recall last week's finale question was, are you a backseat driver? And for me, the answer there is a little bit. So I'm not one of these people that will say, oh, you're doing that wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. But there is one person who I just have to point it out. So my best friend the only way I can think of describing it is that she seems to feel like when she's driving, she has to wait till the very last second before she uses her brakes and drive as fast as possible between manoeuvres. It's the only way I can think of describing it. Don't get me wrong, good driver. Like, it's fine. I mean, I say she's a good driver. She's years and years ago had quite a few accidents, but hasn't recently. So, you know, definitely improved. No doubt about that. And again, the truth is most of those accidents probably weren't her fault in the grand scheme of things when you've looked into it. But still, yeah, she likes to drive fast, which is fine. She doesn't speed, you know, she's not like one of these people who's doing 90 mile an hour down a 30 mile an hour road. But she gets up to road speed quickly, which is good, but sometimes a little bit too, like, she'll get up to road speed in situations where you can see that once you hit road speed, you're going to have to slow down again because the traffic in front of you is busy. So she'll get right up to the car in front of her and then be wondering why she can't get past it. And when I'm in the car with her, and she will attest to this, I do sit there going, have you thought about braking and stuff like that? Again, not terrible, but just, you know, enough to scare me when I'm in the car with her. I do have another question for the week, and it's going to be a driving related one because that's what we're on now. And this one is, when you're on the motorway, are you a middle lane hogger?